Open your Bible with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be looking this morning at verse 19. Verse 19. Another one of these short little verses here at the end of Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He has begun these, well, we'll just call them the short verse section. Not very imaginative, but it's descriptive. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We come to verse 19, quench not the Spirit. When it says quench not the Spirit, if you look up the word quench, the word that is translated as quench in the Greek, you'll find that it means to stifle or suppress. Suppress not the Spirit. Don't stifle the Spirit. Now, in all fairness, I think I ought to say what I'm about to say because of the great variety of church backgrounds of the people who are listening this morning. I would like to say this. When he speaks here about quench not the Spirit, or don't stifle or suppress the Spirit, please do not take this to mean that if somebody is hollering and carrying on in church and they're supposed to be, quote, in the Spirit, for the pastor to call them down, call them to order so that the service can proceed, he is not quenching the Spirit. Now, that may be the way you want to take it, but that is not to be supported in the Greek. When he says here, quench not the Spirit, keep in mind what the Spirit is supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying think about what people do and say the Holy Spirit made them do it or led them to do it. What does the Bible say about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he does? As we look at the scripture and we see our Lord saying that it was necessary, it was expedient for the disciples that Jesus should go to be with the Father. He said, if I go to be with the Father, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father and he'll send you the Comforter. And you remember that he goes on to say what the Holy Spirit would do. He would guide them. He would teach them. He would bring all things to their remembrance, the words that he had said. Now, when we're speaking about the Holy Spirit, please understand that one of his primary interests, one of his primary activities, if you will, is to point men and women and young people to Jesus Christ. He at no point in the scripture ever calls attention to himself, but rather to the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. He does not emphasize the believer. He emphasizes Jesus Christ. Sad to say, there is a great bit of confusion that's been generated because of the excesses of the charismatic movement. People who say, well, the Holy Spirit just led me to do such and such a thing. And the attention of everybody in that service was for a period of time directed toward that individual who was carrying out that supposed ministry, having that supposed word or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. When in actual point of fact, instead of elevating the Lord Jesus Christ, they elevated themselves. And they excuse their ego and their showmanship by saying, the Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit made me do it. I'd have never done this, but I just felt like the Lord was leading me to how many times have foolish and stupid things been done and then blamed on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leads a man to do a stupid thing. Now you say, wait a minute. Now there are some times that the Holy Spirit has led people to do things that other folks thought were stupid. What was the result? What was the result? It might have appeared stupid for Barnabas to sell land and give it to the church for the needy. In the eyes of some. In the eyes of others, it looked like a good thing to do. There were others who imitated that. Or appeared to, or tried to, or at least used that to try to mislead. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira did the same thing, except they held part of the money back. And they lied to Peter, to the church, and basically to the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. They lied to the Lord in saying that they had given all when they had not. How many times have we seen people do things pretending one thing when in actuality they're doing something else or for a wrong reason? He says here, quench not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit could lay it on a man's heart to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit woos the individual and convinces him of his need of the Savior. He says, don't stifle the Spirit in that. Sometimes, and I've seen parents do this, and I'm sure they've got in their mind what appears to be a good reason to them, but they don't understand the ramifications of what they're doing. I'd be a little, I saw this in a church one time down in Louisiana. I was in a quartet and we were singing down there, and we had one of the fellows in the group that preached, and he preached and gave an invitation. And there was a young man, maybe 13, 14 years old. He was a young teenager who was very much under conviction, and during the invitation started to step out and to come forward. And his father was standing between him and the aisle. And when the boy tried to get past his father reached out and clamped his hand down on the back of the pew in front of him and would not let the boy pass. He said, you sit down. The Spirit was dealing with that young man, and his father quenched the Spirit. We take the word quench as the idea of throwing water on fire. And sometimes that is a valid description of the influence that some people have on the work of the Holy Spirit. They quench it. Whereas he is at work wooing people to himself, and they step in, beat their drum, set up a carnival atmosphere, and destroy what the Lord has been trying to accomplish in the heart of an individual. Quench not the Spirit. There are times when there is some serious preaching that needs to be done in a congregation because of some sin, and somebody throws a bucket of water on the whole thing. Well, now that's none of your business. Now, preacher, you've gone and left off preaching. You've begun to meddle. Now, we'll not have that. I don't know how many times over the expanse of my ministry I have heard of preachers who were shot down, as it were, sometimes in the midst of a sermon. Somebody taking exception and raising a ruckus, breaking the whole mood of the service. Sometimes you'll see a song service that is being led by the Lord and people's hearts are being touched, and then somebody gets it in their head, well, I can do that too, and so they get up and sing, and the emphasis is totally different, and the whole mood of that service is shattered. They've stifled, they've suppressed, because of a me too attitude, because of a I want to be in the limelight too. They promote themselves, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is suppressed. You will notice here that it is a divine command. quench not the spirit. When that fire is burning in a man's heart, when that fire is burning in a young person's heart, it is not your place to tell them they don't know what they're doing. It is not your place to say, hey, listen, you can't do that. We just don't do it that way. What's the Bible say? You know, if you are spiritually where you need to be, you will not quench the Holy Spirit. If, on the other hand, you are not where you are supposed to be spiritually, it's amazing how much damage you'll be able to do without ever really fully intending to do it. Like a bull in a china shop thrashing around, smashing beautiful things. You don't know what it's about. Quench not the Spirit. My friend, to gain a better understanding of that, you need to have a good understanding of Him. Better yet, you need to have a good acquaintance with Him. Do you know Him? Are you aware of His presence in your life? Do you allow Him to show you things from the Word of God? Do you rely on His power? Do you trust in His leading? Do you lean on His wisdom? Or do you stifle Him? Did you ever have that urge, that compulsion? You just felt like you really needed to say something to a particular individual and you talked yourself out of it. I don't know how many times over the years I've heard of people who have confessed. Yeah, I just felt impressed to go talk to somebody about their soul, and I put it off and forgot about it. And then, you know, 3 or 4 days later, after that movement of the Spirit had passed, that individual gets killed in a car accident, or somebody shoots them, or there's a terrible accident of some kind, and that person steps out into eternity. If they went to heaven, it wasn't your fault. You talked yourself out. You suppressed the Holy Spirit. You quenched the Spirit. Oh, friend, don't be guilty of that. Don't do that. He says, quench not the Spirit. The divine imperative is not to be ignored. For keep in mind, this one who is indicated here by the word Spirit is also God, not a God. He is God as He indwells the believer. Quench not the Spirit. Don't say no to God. Now, we're not talking about here the idea of somebody being called to order for some emotional outburst that disrupts a service. That's not quenching the Spirit. Many times that outburst was, in fact, the quenching of the Spirit, because it dampened, it damaged, it shattered the work of the Spirit as He was working, and this individual cuts loose like the braying of an ass breaking the midnight hour. And they say, who, me? I didn't do anything. But it's too late. You don't want to be responsible for turning somebody else away from the Lord. So you do not stifle, you do not suppress, you do not say no to the Holy Spirit. Everything He leads will always be in conjunction with the written Word of God. It will always be consistent with the Scripture. If He is leading, it will never be contrary to what the Bible says.